Christmas is very important in the world of British pop. Singers from Alma Cogan to Tommy Steele to Adam Ant have participated in the year-end pantomime shows. And bands like Jerry and the Pacemakers and Slade have released Christmas singles through the years. But rock historian Ed Ward says no recordings have been as downright odd and revealing as the private ones the Beatles made.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
All my trouble seems so far away. Now it looks as though we're here to stay. I believe in yesterday.
Yes, that really was the Beatles. You might remember the song being rendered with a bit more finesse. Or you might be really lucky and know where that came from. If so, then I know your secret. You were a member of the Beatles fan club, and each year you could look forward to getting the infamous Beatles Christmas record. And if you got them, you probably puzzled over them like all the rest of the fans. What were these guys up to? Well, the early ones weren't so bad. The first one, in 1963, was positively cuddly.
Good King Wenceslas last looked out on the feast of Stephen, as the slow ray round about, deep and crispy, brightly showed the boot last night on the musty cruel Henry Hall and David Lloyd, Betty Grable too.
Hello, this is John speaking with his voice. We're all very happy to be able to talk to you like this on this little bit of plastic. This record reaches you at the end of a really gear year for us, and it's all due to you. When we made our first record on Parlophone towards the end of 1962, we hoped everybody would like what we'd already been our type of music for several years already. But we had no idea of all the gear things in store for us. It all happened really...
On and on they talked, each thanking the fans for sticking with them. You get the real sense that they were amazed that all this had happened, despite their putting up the front of arrogant, jaded pop stars. For 5 or so minutes, 4 friends goofed with each other in the studio, but the sincerity was unmistakable. They'd gotten slicker by the time the next year marched around.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul, and I'd just like to thank you all for buying our records during the past year. We know you've been buying them because the sales have been very good, you see. Don't know where we'd be without you, really, though.
In the army, perhaps.
Oh, we hope you've enjoyed listening to the records as much as we've enjoyed melting them. No, that's wrong. Making them.
Once again, they were having fun, reading from somebody's bad hand-rotor, as John calls it, plugging their first movie, cracking up when they deviate from the script. There's sort of a hip distancing that still includes the listener, and since the number of Beatle fans had grown astronomically in the past year, that was a lot of puzzled people. Beatle-peatle, as Paul called them. The 1965 record began with that horrid rendition of Yesterday, and as it progresses, it seems like it might actually have started with a few stiff drinks. By 1966, not even their fans expected them to be warm and cuddly, so what they got was part vaudeville, part enigma.
Everywhere it's Christmas, everywhere it's song. London,
Paris, and New York,
and Tokyo, Hong Kong. Oh, everywhere it's Christmas.
And I'm off to join the charm.
Everywhere is Christmas.
At the end of every year.
Oh, everywhere is Christmas. At the end of every year.
I said that
everywhere is Christmas.
Story opens in Corsica.
Opening with a minute of odd music, the record went on to tell a completely incomprehensible story. Listened to in the right frame of mind, it could elicit a giggle or two, and these sorts of giggles were just what Beatle fans wanted for Christmas. It doesn't take a genius to tell that this next one is from the time when Sgt. Pepper was brewing.
Boys arrive at BBC House.
What do you want?
We have been granted permission, O wise one.
Pass in peace.
Christmas time is here again.
An audition will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday the 1st in the Fluffy rehearsal rooms. Bring your own.
Once again, an incomprehensible story, but of course they're using studio tricks to tell it. I hope the fans enjoyed it, because it's the last one that was any fun at all. The 1968 one was patched together. George was in New York, and the record featured a cameo appearance by a person with a Christmassy name, Tiny Tim. Not the kind of Christmas party I'd want to be invited to, but then these were grim times for the band. They got worse, of course, as the last in the series makes clear.
Happy Christmas.
I see that you're strolling in Ascot Garden with your wife, Yoko, but, do you have any special thoughts for Christmas?
Well, Yoko, it is Christmas, and my special thoughts, of course, turn towards eating.
All right, so eating. Well, what do you like to eat?
Well, I'd like some cornflakes prepared by Parisian hands.
Each Beatle recorded his own message. Ringo plugged his film, The Magic Christian, and an engineer pasted it all together. What had started as a sincere thank you had ended as a self-indulgent raspberry, but that was okay. By the time the Beatles broke up, people were too cool for fan clubs, too cool for Christmas. Aren't you glad that time has passed?
This is George Harrison saying, Happy Christmas, Happy Christmas, Christmas, Christmas.
Ed Ward writes for the Austin Chronicle.